Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Robert Swartwood. Thank you for visiting robertswartwood.com, where it is, well, essentially all Robert Swartwood all the time. I don't really have a name yet for this weekly podcast that I'm going to do. Hopefully at some point I come up with a halfway clever name. For now, it's just going to be a weekly podcast. What we're going to talk about this week is Target stopped selling the Amazon Kindle. And there's an article saying why smart authors are cutting out Amazon. And Paulo Coelho sells his ebooks for 99 cents. We're also going to talk about The Dark Tide by Andrew Gross. And finally, I'm going to kind of open myself up and talk about becoming that, quote unquote, that author. So to start, yeah, I thought the biggest news of the entire week was going to be Barnes & Noble and Microsoft teaming up to kind of like give more weight to the Nook. But today, Target announced that they were going to stop carrying the Amazon Kindle due to a conflict of interest. It says here that since Target stores began selling Amazon's Kindle line back in 2010, the devices have always appeared to do well. The Kindle Fire was even the retailer's best-selling tablet during Black Friday last year. It appears that's about to change, however, with a source telling us that the company is going to stop carrying the line of products due to a quote-unquote conflict of interest. According to an internal Target memo we received, the company will be removing Amazon hardware from its location starting this month. I don't really think this is going to hurt Amazon that much. There's a lot of other retailers who are going to be carrying the Kindle. In many ways, I think a lot of people who are going to buy the Kindle are just going to buy it directly from Amazon. I guess it was nice to have it in stores. I remember even before the Kindles were in stores, I kind of wished that I could at least have a hands-on demonstration with the Kindle. It's nice to at least kind of see what you're going to get before you actually buy it, not just from pictures. Obviously, the conflict of interest, at least in my mind, is that Apple is going to be opening up these little mini stores in several Targets across the country. So, obviously, Apple and Amazon, they're not really the best friends right now. So, it's looking like that probably is the straw that broke the camel's back. But we will see what happens. Here, then, at VentureBeat, there is this guest post by Penelope Trunk. It says, why smart authors are cutting Amazon out. And she says, the recent antitrust suit against the Big Five book publishers reminds me of the scene in the movie Titanic where the lifeboats are pulling away from the gasping survivors in the water. We all know what's going to happen, and it's painful to watch. What surprises me, she says, is how little discussion there is about what happens to the authors in all of this. For sure, advances are going down, way down, but that has been happening for a while. Even before the Kindle, Amazon was dominating print sales, which meant the publishers had a lot less control over how their books were sold. And then here she goes on to say that publishers have no idea how to drive online sales, and that she talks about how the list matters more than the advance. Her idea is to go around Amazon and basically have the readers come to you. Kind of, I guess, saying like, you know, hey, it's working for J.K. Rowling. She's selling stuff directly off her website, so you can too. Well, quite honestly, I think this is very poorly, just poorly written and just makes no sense whatsoever. J.K. Rowling is J.K. Rowling. She can go wherever she wants and people are going to buy books. For most of us authors, even those published by mainstream publishers, we need places like Barnes & Noble. We need places like Amazon. We need places like Apple. That's where the readers go to buy books, you know, when they're not actually going to a physical bookstore. They're looking online. For me right now, you know, I'm selling over 100 ebooks a day, and it's all thanks to Amazon. You know, Barnes & Noble, I sell some here and there, and it's the same with Apple, but Amazon is where I sell the majority of my books. Readers are finding me because of Amazon. Would it be nice to sell directly from my website, have a big newsletter where I send it out when I have a new release and people just buy directly from me? Yeah, okay, that would be nice in theory, but realistically, that's not going to happen. And she even says here, so it would behoove all authors who can sell their book to sell it on their own website and not on Amazon. Amazon is using ebooks as a marketing tool for the Kindle. And if you drive your list to Amazon, you're merely driving them into Amazon's Kindle-centric sales funnel. She goes on to say that the trick is not to write a book and get it published. That's no longer difficult or even clever. The whole world has a book today. The real trick is to build your audience to the point where you can sell directly to them. Now, again, how are you going to be building your audience without places like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple to get a readership? Very, very short-sighted article. If you disagree, say so in the comments, obviously. I'd like to hear from you. Here we have Paulo Coelho, which I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He's talked HarperCollins, his publisher, his U.S. publisher, into selling a majority of his ebooks for 99 cents. I've said before, I don't think the 99 cent price point is really great for authors. It works well for some major publishers doing maybe a day or two promotion. But here, I guess he hopes that it's going to set an industry standard. In a blog post, Coelho explained that he hoped to make his digital books cost as much as a song in iTunes. The author helpfully did the book buying math for his readers, revealing that purchasing all his discounted books will cost $10.89 versus $74.19 at regular prices. He says, one of my U.S. publishers, HarperCollins, following conversation with my agent at the London Book Fair in 2012, had decided to reduce the price of all my ebook titles except The Alchemist. Surprise there. Which, by the way, as an aside, I tried reading The Alchemist a couple years ago. I could not get into it. I don't really understand what the whole hype is with that book. I'm not saying it's a bad book. I just did not really enjoy it myself. But anyway, people seem to like it. So anyway, he goes on to say that, which means a book now costs less than a cup of coffee. This is a crucial decision for me. For years, I have been advocating that free content is not a threat to the book business. And lowering the price of a book and equaling it to the price of a song in iTunes, the reader will be encouraged to pay for it instead of downloading it for free. Okay, well, this, I guess, is true. People might be more apt to actually buy the book than pirate it. At the same time, I think that people who are going to pirate it are going to pirate it anyway. I think there's a sensibility to just pirates out there who just like to have stuff. They just pirate it for the sake of pirating. It's not like they're really going out there and readers are like, oh, I don't want to pay $6 and $7 for the ebook. I'm going to go pirate it and possibly get a virus on their computer. I think that's kind of silly. The same thing, too, with equaling the book is the price of a song in iTunes. That's a song. It's one song. It's kind of, it would make more sense if we were equating it to a short story collection, selling each story for 99 cents, and then you can sell the entire collection for maybe $4.99. I think $4.99 is a great price point for ebooks. For 99 cents for an entire novel, though, I really think that Mr. Coelho is delusional in this respect. Yeah, sure, ebook prices are high, but first of all, 99 cents, there's no way that the publisher, author, and everyone else involved is even going to make any money. And, but at the same time, I mean, you know, look where the guy is. He's sold millions of books worldwide. He really doesn't need the money. And this is more of a marketing tool, I think, to really get his book out there and to get it on people's, on the off chance no one's even heard of him yet, at least now people kind of are familiar and they're able to take a chance on his book. Unfortunately for me, like I said, I wasn't a fan of The Alchemist, so I really had no desire to check out any of his other books. But if you were a fan, then this is probably a really good day because you're going to be able to get a lot of his ebooks for fairly cheap. All right, so now we're going to talk about the novel The Dark Tide by Andrew Gross. Andrew Gross is a thriller writer. He co-wrote a lot of novels with James Patterson. There was actually a James Patterson novel I read couple years ago that was co-written with Andrew Gross, which was The Jester. And it was a quick read. It was entertaining. Didn't really have any complaints to it. So I was familiar with him. And basically, this was an audiobook. I had checked it out as an audiobook from the library. I like to read. I like to listen to the audiobooks in the car, usually thriller-esque stuff because it's going to be shorter chapters. I don't really have to pay that much attention. One time I tried listening to a Toni Morrison book while I was driving, and I still don't even know what happened in that book. It completely just slipped my mind. So I was listening to this book, and as expected, you know, it's a quick thriller. I don't really like to bash books, but it wasn't really that good to begin with. The narrator of the book, Melissa Leo, she did the best with what she had. What really stuck out to me, though, was that the characters, every time they talked to each other, they said each other's names. And it was like a really, really bad daytime drama dialogue where it was like, what's wrong, Karen? I don't know. Ty, are you sure, Karen? Well, let me think about it, Ty. And just back and forth through the entire book. It's almost like the book came up 10,000 words less than what the publisher wanted, And so they said, well, what are we going to do about this? And the author's like, well, maybe I can just pad it out with a lot of just author names in here. And it got to the point where I could only listen to maybe a chapter at a time. So I never even finished it. I kept checking it out again and again, renewing it from the library, thinking I would finally finish it. I got to the point where I just didn't even really care. What was really ridiculous was that there was a chapter where these two characters are emailing back and forth to one another. And in the emails, they are saying each other's names back and forth in emails. And I guess what kind of bugs me the most is that, you know, this was published by HarperCollins. Okay? This is, you know, the quote-unquote, you know, gatekeeper, the one that's supposed to uphold this, again, quote-unquote quality. Again, you know, are there a lot of crappy self-published books out there? Yes, there are. But at the same time, there's a lot of crappy mainstream published stuff here, and this is just an example of it, okay? This had an editor. This had all the people who were kind of there to make sure it did not suck, and it sucked. So to kind of, and again, you know, people can argue like, oh, well, he's a thriller writer. Well, yeah, okay, he's a thriller writer. But at the same time, he has a publisher. He has an editor. There are people that could have easily fixed these little small things on this. And then that kind of brings me up to my other point, that why it's crucial that as a writer, you're constantly reading your stuff aloud, whether it's a short story, a novel, whatever, you know, as you're writing it, when you're done, before you send it out, read it aloud. You know, there should be a nice flow to it, and stuff like this is just going to stick out. Finally, I want to talk about kind of a personal issue, which is becoming that type of author. Last week, I talked about reader reviews and, you know, how important reader reviews are. Within a week, you know, I got a lot of different reader reviews. I sell a lot of books, and my books have been out for quite some time, so obviously it makes sense that I'm going to get a lot of customer reviews from places like Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's nice when readers like what I write. It's understandable when they don't. I talked about last week about the reader who felt that she was taken advantage of because she didn't know she was getting a short story for 99 cents. You know, that happens. For a lot of us, we would say 99 cents is not a big deal. Well, you know, the economy is not the greatest. 99 cents really does mean a lot to a lot of people, so I understand that. So, for my novel, The Calling, sometime this past week, it got a really, really bad, like, one-star review. Apparently, the reader just did not like it. And that, you know what? That happens, okay? It's one of those things where it sucks, but you just kind of have to move on. What worried me, though, was how it was going to affect the algorithm. I have this theory that unhelpful negative reviews do not affect Amazon's algorithm as much as helpful negative reviews, if that makes sense to anybody. So if you get a one-star review for your book, click it unhelpful. See if you can get some of your other friends to click it as unhelpful. Personally, I think that doesn't really affect the algorithm as much. So going into the new month, I was having a one-star review on The Calling, which right now The Calling is my like top seller. Last month I sold over, you know, 1,000 copies of just that title alone. So if that book stops selling, which, you know, I'm sure at some point it's going to slow and not sell as much, it's going to hurt my sales, obviously. I won't be making as much as I have been in the past couple months. So I knew that, you know, a lot of people obviously have read The Calling, and I knew a lot of people obviously enjoyed it because I've heard from readers that they've enjoyed it. So part of me wanted to reach out online on Twitter, on Facebook, and say, hey, if you've read my ebooks and you liked them, I would be completely grateful if you left a reader review, specifically on The Calling. Just kind of, you know, try to balance out that that one-star review. But it just kind of, it got in my head where I didn't want to become, quote-unquote, that type of author, you know, and you know what I'm talking about by that type of author, the ones on Facebook and Twitter who are constantly telling you to buy their book and then review their book and sniff their book. I don't know. They want you to do, you know, they're just in your face, and it gets to the point where every time you see them or you see their name, you just kind of have this inward groan and you get all annoyed, and I just don't want to become that author. I was talking to a friend of mine about how, you know, the Stephen Kings and Dean Koontz of the world, I'm sure they want really good reader reviews, but it doesn't hurt their sales. Right now, Dean Koontz's most recent book, which is one that I even mentioned last week, 77 Shadow Street, I believe it's called, it has terrible reviews right now. I think his average is less than 2.5 out of 5 stars on Amazon out of hundreds of reviews, but it's still selling because it's Dean Koontz. And it will continue to sell because it's Dean Koontz. For authors like myself, for authors like, I'm sure, you know, if you're a writer and you're listening here and you're more of a quote-unquote indie author, or even if you're a regular published author from a traditional press, reviews help. So I wanted to reach out, and then I thought, no, I don't want to become that author. So the next day, I see on Twitter, there was a reader who was apparently, I saw they were reading The Calling, and I kind of retweeted their tweet about it and said, you know, enjoy. And this reader started they tweeted me back and we kind of had this conversation, and she apparently really was loving the book. And I said, well, you know, let me know what you think when you finish it. She finished it in one day. She said that she really loved it. And I said, that's great to hear. Would you be willing to leave a reader review at Amazon? If so, I'd be internally grateful. If not, no worries. And she's like, oh yeah, sure. That sounds great. So they got up a 5-star review. So, it worked out in that instance. It's not always going to work out in my favor. I understand that. But, anyway, it's something I kind of, I battle with, becoming that author. Because obviously I want to get my books read. I want to get my name out there. But at the same time, I don't want to get to the point where my name causes inward groans from a lot of readers or even other writers. And I think that is it for today. Thank you for stopping by. Make sure you leave a comment down in the comment section, whether you agree or disagree with anything I said. Let's get some kind of conversation going. And I guess I'll see you back here tomorrow where I read chapter 2 of The Inner Circle. All right, so I will see you then.